Father, we pray for America today. Our country, without a doubt, is in grave trouble. Not just the highest unemployment since the time of the Great Depression, but our cities are on fire this day. And there's so much social unrest, and we can argue about the reasons for this, that, and the other thing. But Lord, we recognize this is just a symptom of a deeper problem that our nation needs to return to you. And they need to once again call upon the one from whom our help comes. We pray for our cities. We pray for our mayors, governors, our president, all of those who are in positions of responsibility. Teach us, Lord, in the midst of all of these concerns to focus on one of the most critical matters. Not get distracted by some of the things, oh God, that are maybe not at the level that some would make them. And at the same time, we don't want to ignore the social concerns. And we pray for peace. At the same time, give us the strength to address the issues and not shirk from them. God, help us to talk about those things, do the best we can to bring resolution to them at the same time, to not get distracted by all of these forces that would want to bring down our country, bring down our cities, bring down our families, bring down our schools. Lord, we pray for our first responders, wherever they are. Keep them out of harm's way. And yet, if there's issues that need to be addressed among them, Lord, we pray there'd be appropriate accountability. Father, we pray today for our teachers and our nurses and our doctors. And we pray for those that help to bring peace to our streets and our country. Lord, bless them and help them and give them the wisdom that they need. And watch over them, oh God. So, Father, that somehow in all that they have to do, that, Lord, that you will guide and protect them. In the meantime, Father, we pray that you'll not forget our country. And let us not just having come through COVID and maybe we're still battling some matters in that regard. Lord, we pray that we'll not just go back to business as usual, that we'll one more time remind ourselves of how much we need you, every part of our country. And God, we thank you for it today. Satan, we post you on notice today. There's no place for you in this community, in this congregation, in this state, in this nation. And we're going to pray and we're going to seek your face, O God, until the powers of darkness are aware of who and what we are, and ultimately where things are headed. The day is coming when there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. We praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Everybody said a big amen today. Today is Pentecost Sunday. This is the time when on the church calendar we remember the outpouring. And I'd like you to take your Bible today and stand for the reading of God's Word. Open to the book of Jude. Today's the final message in a series of three messages entitled The Chronicles of the Last Days out of the book of Jude. And I want to begin reading today verse 20. The last two Sundays we talked about being called, loved, and kept. Last week we talked about contending for the faith. And today I want to talk about building yourself up. Jude, and we begin reading in verse 20 today. This is Pentecost Sunday. The remembrance of what happened when the power of the Holy Ghost fell upon that church that was conceived on that day. And they went forth in a glory like the world had never seen or known. Look at verse 20, the book of Jude. But you, beloved, building yourself up. Everyone say, building myself up. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Keeping yourself in the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. On some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. And now to him who's able to keep you from stumbling, or to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Father, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And all of the saints of God said a great big amen. Heavenly Father, we ask you today in the name of Jesus to take your word, which is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. That word that we've hid in our heart that we might not sin against you. We ask you to come now and speak to us as only you can through the word of the living God. You are at work in our heart. You're at work in our families. You're at work in our country. Things are happening in spite of whatever some may say. And Lord, we are grateful for what you've done, what you're doing, and hallelujah, what you're about to do. In Jesus' great and mighty name, And all of God's people said a great big hallelujah. You may be seated today. You know, when you think of the prophetic signs that indicate the nearness of our Lord's return, what comes to your mind? Perhaps you think of the parallel accounts in Mark 13, Luke 21, and Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus, in responding to his disciples when they asked, "What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus said to them, first of all, in Matthew 24, verse 4, that there'd be a time of great deception. "Watch out," he said, "that no one deceive you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many." Second of all, Jesus warned there would be international turmoil. Verse 6, "When you hear of wars and of rumors of wars, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom." Third of all, Jesus said there would be a time of great ecological disturbance. In the bottom of verse 7, he said there'd be famines and earthquakes in various places. Luke 21:25 adds to that, "There'll be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and the tossing of the sea." Jesus went on to say in verse 9 of Matthew 24 and following, "It'd be a time of the all-out assault against the church of the living God." The church is under attack more than it's ever been. Maybe we don't see it and feel it like some other sectors of the world, but here's what Jesus said about the end days. "You'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. You'll be hated of all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold." Then he went on to say, listen to this, in Matthew 24:14, in reference to the signs of his return, he said, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness unto all nations, and then the end will come." Now, having said all of that, perhaps one of the greatest signs of the second advent of Christ is this attitude of apostasy, this attitude of falling away from the faith, and those that would abandon the gospel. On the one hand, the gospel of the kingdom is going to go into all the world. And we have never seen a time where the accessibility to the message has been like it is right now. Listen. From right here at First Assembly, during the shutdown and during our Facebook Live sessions, which we're going to be continuing to expand on, literally from here, our messages have gone around the world. We've got reports out of India. We've got reports out of Europe and Africa of people that have jumped on, have been blessed. It just humbles me to think of that. But think of it. Right now, we have the ability, and it's happening in this hour, that the gospel is going everywhere. It's going to this far sectors of the world as long as people have an internet signal. Let me tell you something. If you think it is not available, it is crazy. You know, there are places in Indiana, these dead spots. Have anybody been to a dead spot in Indiana where you could not get a signal? Now, those are becoming fewer and farther between. But isn't it crazy when you see some report from some way out of the middle of nowhere kind of place and somebody's got a cell phone? The capability of taking the message has never been better than it is right now. The gospel is literally going throughout all nations. Jesus said that would be a sign. But on the flip side of that coin, at the same time that the message is going forth, there is a response from the kingdom of darkness with regard to apostasy and abandoning the faith. Remember Demas, the young protege of the Apostle Paul? In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, Paul wrote this, that Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me. Many in the last days, having loved this world, having loved the spirit of this world, having loved the things of this world, are deserting the Lord, are deserting his people. In fact, Jesus said again in Matthew 24:10 that many will abandon the faith. He talked about this contrast to the gospel going everywhere, to this love growing cold, this reference to a loss a spiritual fervor, spiritual passion, spiritual commitment. This is precisely the kind of thing that Jesus talked about that would be the signs of his return. If you have a Bible in your lap, I want you to flip back for yourself. See this for yourself. I know it'll be on the screens, but I'd like you to look at it for yourself. In Luke 17, verse 26, I want you to see a passage. Many, many years ago, I was just on my way to Bible school. I had walked away from what I believed to be a career in the Coast Guard to pursue the call of God on my life. And I remember the first time I read this passage. And when I was preparing for today, I wanted to share it with you again and remind you of it again. Because we are living in the very days that Jesus said would be the times of his return. I want to be careful what I'm about to say. Are you listening? And I'm not a conspiratist. I have about that much conspiracy in my body. It's very, very little. I know people that have like that much. I've got about that much. But I will tell you, one of the lasting memories we're going to have of this season is that a government can shut down a country when it needs to and wants to. And don't think any of that is coincidental. Because in the days ahead, there's going to be more and more obtrusiveness as this world is moved to a one-world culture so that a mark could be demanded that you could not buy or sell without it. I just turned 60 a while back, and I've said all my life, the government will never be able to do it. It'll never happen in America. Those who are leaning a little more conspiratorial than I do, and I have about that much in my bones, have said, oh, yes, they can. You watch. It'll happen. Let me tell you something, friends. It isn't coincidental, anything that's going on, because this world is headed somewhere. Read your Bible. Read what's going to happen in the end times. When a one-world culture is so going to control people's lives, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled this week 5-4 that a governor is within his rights to shut down worship services. Did you see that? Happened this week. They supported governors if necessary. I understand. We've been dealing with a biological concern. They haven't told us to compromise our message. Our governor has said, spread the word, not the virus. We've been supportive of that to the sense that over a short period of time. But don't kid yourself. The day is going to come in this world where if you don't have a mark, you're not buying or selling. They're going to try to control everything about your life. And we've seen things happen that are just simply a little bit of an hors d'oeuvre. We're going to get past this. All of the churches of America are going to be back open, but there's going to be a lasting memory. And who knows, I personally believe that when all that's going to kick loose is when the church is caught out in the rapture. I believe when the Lord descends from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and he gathers all of his people out of here, and the governments of this world wonder what happened when a billion people just disappeared. Well, the first thing they're going to say is, this was an alien invasion. And those little green people, that's the first thing they're going to say. They have been baiting that hook for a long time. There's life out there, and they are here. But then eventually, someone's going to say, with a billion people gone, we got to do something, and that's going to pave the way for the introduction of a person who will himself have the anointing of Satan, be empowered with the spirit of the dragon. And they're going to say, we got to do something to control the economies. We've got to do something to control the people. And that mark is going to come out. I believe all of that will happen following the rapture of the church. But leading into it, that spirit of Antichrist is already at work. It's already here. It's already in the world. And little things we're going to see and little things we're going to experience. I know there's been some inconvenience. Some of us, like myself, have felt like Harrison Ford in The Call of the Wild. We're going to get through that. We're going to get past all that. But can I tell you, Jesus said this is the very context in which you should anticipate the very return of the Lord. Now look at this passage in Luke 17, verse 26. Here's what Jesus said in another place. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, being given in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, when the flood came and destroyed them all. In other words, business as usual. in the book of Hebrews, Noah is referenced as a preacher of righteousness, but the people around him did not sense the urgency of the moment. Christ went on to say, verse 28, Luke 17, as it was in the days of Lot, people were eating and drinking, buying, selling, building, planting, but the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. The people saw Lot, who himself was vexed by the daily sin of Sodom. Even the angels of God visited the city to bring him out. Look at verse 30. It'll be just like this on the day of the coming of the Son of Man. On that day, no one who is on the roof of his house with his goods inside should go down to get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever tries to keep his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, on that night, two people will be in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding together. One will be taken and the other left. Listen, I know that has been preached for generations as an imagery of the rapture, but it really isn't referring to that so much as it's referencing people falling from the faith, leaving the faith, abandoning a faith. Just walking out on the things most surely believed and most precious among us. In fact, go to Luke 18:8, when Jesus said, leading up to this point, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? In other words, the falling away will become so profound that he says, in that time will there even be faith left? Can I say this? Should I live that long for the glory of God? I'm going to be one with faith. I'm going to be one of those. Lift your hand if you'd say, I'm going to be one of those. I'm going to be one of those. Come what may. They can do whatever they want to me, my family, where I live, what I've got. I'm not walking away from that faith. I'm not walking away from those things that are most significant in my heart and in my life. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? Yes, he will. But having said that, that falling away, that profound abandonment is even in this current moment. We all know people that once upon a time love God with all their heart. But where are they today? Where's their faith today? Where's their life today? Are we communicating? Chapter 21 of Luke, verse 34. Be careful, or your hearts being weighted down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of this life. And that day will close upon you like a trap. What day? The day of the Lord's return and the setting up of his kingdom. He said the concerns will become so great. I used to read that passage, and I used to think it was talking about some kind of hyper anxiety, some kind of almost clinical neurosis. It didn't talk about that at all. Really. If we're not careful, we can get so busy doing good things that we forget the best thing. Hear what I'm telling you. It is true for all of us. If we're not careful, we can get so busy doing good things that we can forget the best things. Do you know there are good people that will go to hell? Those passages we read just a minute ago in Luke 17 doesn't say anything about evil per se. Buying, selling, building, planting, marrying, giving in marriage. There is nothing wrong with any of that per se, but you can get so focused on quote-unquote living, doing good stuff, going here, going there, doing this, doing that, that somehow the Lord isn't even on the back burner. He's not even in the house. There are good people that have never pursued in their life the best possible things in their own relationship with God, in their own walk. We were on the way up this morning. I was just thinking of this. And listen, don't get me wrong. I know there's times for recreation. I know there's time to rejuvenation and personal stuff. And we made a stop on the way up at the Starbucks in Lebanon. There was a whole group of people there on bikes. A whole team of them that had stopped evidently to make a bit of a break. And I thought to myself, you know, there's nothing wrong with taking a bike ride. There isn't. But this is the Lord's Day. This is the day when we have set aside to come together for the good and the best possible reasons. But people can get so busy running here and running there that they not only just miss a service here or there or this or that, but pretty soon they haven't been in the house of God for 6 months, maybe a year or even longer. And all of a sudden they wake up one day and they think to themselves, how did I get here? Listen. You can be doing so many good things and doing all the good things you got to do, do not forget. Take heed to yourself, lest your heart get weighted down with all of this stuff and all of these things that ultimately lead to a partying and a carousing and a drunkenness and the general cares of life. That day come on you, what day? The day of Christ's return might come on you unexpectedly. 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit expressly says, in the last times people will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. There is more focus today on the paranormal than there has ever been. And I'm not talking about the Jesus kind. I'm talking about all of the occult and all of the New Age and all of the crystals and all of the horoscope, and everybody is involved in all these sort of spiritual pursuits. But of course, Jesus is nowhere to be found on their radar. 2 Timothy 3:1, mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unloving, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now listen to this. On the heels of this, on this Pentecost Sunday, I want you to one more time look at Jude, verse 20, what he says to us in the focus of the last times. Now listen to this. The book of Jude is all about living in the last days. He doesn't really talk so much about the prophetic indicators of the end times, where he talks about the scoffers and the mockers and all of that, and the tension within the body of people that will try to divide the flock and sort of lead others astray according to their own purposes and their own agendas. He references that. But in the light of the days that will be at the end, here's what he says to us, and it's the message to us on this Pentecost Sunday, Jude verse 20. He says, in no uncertain terms, listen folks, at the time of the end, build yourself up. You're going to be strong if you're going to stand. You're going to have something on the inside of you that's greater than what is happening on the outside of you. Greater is he who is in us than the one who is in the world. You're going to have power on board in your life. As really, as Matthew 24, Luke 17, 18, 21, talk about deception, international social ecological signs. There's a sign that Joel gave us. Have you read this one? On the day of Pentecost, Peter quotes from the book of Joel. And I want to give you a sign that was given then that ought to be a message to us about these last days, saith God. Acts 2:17, quoting from the book of Joel. In the last days, saith God, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. I'm dreaming like I've never had in my entire life. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit and they will prophesy. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen. We're told that the outpouring of the Spirit will be without cultural distinctions. It will be upon all flesh. No sexual distinction, sons and daughters alike. Without age distinction, young and old. Without economic distinction, servant and free. And Joel, which is quoted by Peter on the day of Pentecost, says, whosoever shall call. How many whosoevers are in the house? Beloved, in these last days, we are not only the whosoever's our life, but our message has to be to the whosoever's. It's got to be not just deciding what target audience that we may want for our particular niche of the kingdom. No, it's got to be a whosoever message. It's got to be whosoever can attend this church. It's got to be whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord is welcome here. Whether theirs cleaned up or not, will they smell good or not? Somehow we have to have that sense, living in the last days, that we're a whosoever people. We're preaching a whosoever gospel. But clearly, for us to be who we need to be, we got to build ourselves up. You know why? If you don't build yourself up, you're not going to be strong. You're going to be weak. The system of this world is constantly draining us of power, enthusiasm, and life. Can I tell you this? Life will drain you. Just living will drain you. It's almost like we've got a hole in the oil pan. How many of you have ever had a car that had a little bit of an oil leak that you had to constantly be pouring? How many of you ever had a car like that? Had a little bit of an oil leak? When we were attending Bible school, I mean, this was back when they were riding on rocks, you know, a long time ago. But I'll never forget, there was a young gal, I think if I remember right, it was my sophomore year, that I don't even remember what state she'd come from, but she drove her car there, and all of a sudden she went out one day, and she went to start a car, and the engine wouldn't turn over, and there were several of us that were trying to help. I'm not a mechanic, but I was kind of part of some. We were trying to see what we could do, and I'll never forget what she said. She said, you know, I was putting gas in it, and one of the group of guys that we were standing there said, but when was the last time you checked the oil? I'll never forget this. It was like yesterday. She said, oil? You mean to tell me that a car needs oil? Forgive me, I know I'm 60. No kid should be driving a car that doesn't know there's oil in that car. Every mom and dad say amen if you know what I'm talking about. I had a good friend of mine that passed away just some years back, and we still are in contact with the family all these years later. He was a farmer named Jim Taylor and had been trained in diesel mechanics. He knew how to work on his tractors. I used to think every farmer was rich until I met Jim Taylor. And Jim Taylor said, let me show you how real farmers lived. He used to show me how he'd work on all his equipment. And I heard his daughter say this at his funeral that we attended. She said, every time I'd go to see Dad, Dad would say, her name was Lisa, this oldest daughter of the family, would say, Lisa, when'd you change your oil? Lisa, did you change your oil? You, every once in a while, got to have an oil change. Hello? Every once in a while, like Finney said, we need a burst of excitement. And we need to get in the presence of God for an oil change. Building ourselves up. You're not strong enough, and neither am I. And what you got once upon a time will not last you for the rest of your life. You got to regularly go into the Holy Ghost Jiffy Lube. Get the oil changed. Get your life greased up by the power of God. Because it isn't enough what you got in that sawdust trail at that camp meeting so ever many eons ago. It isn't good enough that once upon a time somebody in a camp meeting somewhere where there was no air conditioning and the evangelist was sweating and you were sweating. But we got to build ourselves up, because the world is going to do everything it can to drain you out. The world is going to do everything it can to steal your faith. The world is going to do everything it can to rob your life. The world is going to do everything in its power, and we got to stay in the presence of God. And you would say, how often do I need to be in the presence of God? As much as you can. Not just your own time of mourning alone with God, which I trust we all have. But when you're driving and you're caught in traffic, you can be in the presence of God. If you're stuck at a stoplight and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, you can be praying. You can be practicing the very presence of God, because we have got to be as strong as we can possibly be in this hour, because we're at the time of the end. And in these chronicles of the last days, I want you to be strong. I want your family to be strong. I want your faith to be strong. Because everything in this world is going to do what it can to steal from you that goodness and that strength and that anointing and that power. You know, that term, practicing the presence of God, that references being in his presence wherever you are or what you're doing, that was a term that was originated by Brother Lawrence, who was a dishwasher in a monastery. Wasn't a priest, wasn't a preacher. But as he was going about his responsibilities, and this has been hundreds of years ago, but he began to challenge people to utilize every moment to be with God. You don't have to be here. If COVID-19 hasn't taught us anything else, it has taught us about the virtual reality of linking with people everywhere and not just focusing on a building. Thank God for the structure. This isn't the church. We gather the church in this facility. And the Bible says all the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching, right? Why does he say that to us? Because we're stronger together than we are apart. A threefold cord is not easily broken. The more we gather, the stronger we're going to be. And we need to get as strong as we possibly can, because we're going to need all of the strength that we can possibly get, because as the days proceed, there's going to be a greater and greater attempt to drain everything like God out of our lives. Life does it. Tests and trials do it. Health concerns, financial setbacks. You know, you got to keep your mind in the game. The enemy is going to come at you and bother you. You know the scripture where it talks about that one of the names of Satan is Beelzebub? Many people translate it the Lord of the Flies, but the better translation is the Lord of the Pests. How many of you know anything about pests? People have got in accidents trying to swat a gnat. I've never had this happen to me. I've heard of people that have hit parked cars. But I know people that have been in accidents hitting a parked car. And when they began to debrief what happened, they found out they were trying to swat away a bee. You ever got a bee loose in your car? But I mean, you hear these reports about people that are driving along and a bee gets in the front of their car or a gnat and they're trying to wipe it away and all of a sudden they hit this parked vehicle. The enemy is the expert at just pesting us. Generally speaking, he doesn't appear to us with tights and pitchfork and horns. But what he does is he brings all sorts of little pesty things in our lives. And we can get so pested by this stuff that we can find ourselves veering off course and hitting stuff we never intended to hit. And that's why we have to stay focused. I want you to hear, if you don't hear anything else I say, I want you to hear this. Because of all of the COVID concerns, there's things we really can't do right now. And it's driving me crazy we can't do them. But I'm going to double doggone dare you in the days to come, in your own personal times with the Lord, driving back and forth to work, going back and forth through your responsibilities, or sitting out on your mower, out there with a weed eater in hand. When you're just you and there's things going on, I'm going to double doggone dare you to pray this prayer. Lord, baptize me anew and afresh in the Holy Ghost. We need a fresh baptism of the Spirit. Not just so we can speak in tongues. That's the initial physical evidence, yes. But the ongoing evidence is a power in your life that gives you the ability to cope come what may. Everybody else is collapsing and abandoning the faith. You're true and you're strong. The Bible says in Proverbs 24:10, if you fall in the day of trial, your strength is weak. I don't want any of us to fall during times of testing and trial. I want us to keep ourselves strong. I want us to keep ourselves not just healthy physically, but I want us as a body to get back in the presence of God, practicing His presence as you're going and coming from work, as you're going back and forth to the store, if you got to do that, if you're sitting out in your mower, if you're washing a sink of dishes, if you're out weed eating, or if you're sitting on a grader chipping and sealing one of the roads in Montgomery County, when we're just us and ours, maybe we can take the earbuds out of our ears. Maybe we can say, Lord, I know, but I want to be, and I am. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Because what He will do is He will build you up. And we got to be as strong as we know how to be. Because everything in this world in the days to come, you think it's crazy now? There's a lot more crazy around the corner. And that's not on my authority. That's on biblical authority. It will get terrible, the scripture says. There's more crazy around the corner, and we're going to have to be so strong that come what may, nothing of this world will be able to steal from us the most precious thing we have. Listen, thank God for all of the ways that He has blessed us. Say with me, say, I'm blessed and highly favored. Say that. I know how Nancy and I feel. We feel like we've been so crazy blessed by God, so crazy fortunate by His goodness. Can I tell you this? As blessed as we are and as favored as we are, first of all, don't ever take that for granted. But there's going to be everything in this hour that's going to try to steal from us all of the wonder and the goodness that God has sent our way. And the enemy is going to try to sow cause offense in our lives, to try to so lead us astray, to try so pull us aside. He's going to do whatever he's got to do to try to put us into a place that we all of a sudden wake up one day and say, how did I ever get here? We need to build ourselves up praying in the Holy Ghost. If you are not yet filled, you've not yet received the initial physical evidence of the baptism, I double doggone dare you to begin to ask God every day, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. If you are already have experienced the infilling, then I challenge you every day to pray in the Spirit. Because if you look over at 1 Corinthians 14, it says when you pray in another tongue, you speak mysteries for yourself, but you pray to God. And by the way, the enemy can't understand that. And it builds you up. You're in your car, pray in tongues. I know people will think you're nuts. Nowadays, it's not so bad because people have these wireless means of communication. And they got their things set up. And so you see people talking. I used to think anybody talking in their car, like, what in the world is going on over there? Nowadays, people are on conversations they have through their wireless systems, their Bluetooth and all that jazz, right? So it won't be so bad as it used to be. But when it's just you and God, pray in the Spirit. When you're doing something, pray in the Spirit. When you're traveling, pray in the Spirit. If you wake up in the middle of the night and all of a sudden that spirit of fear, have you ever had this happen? 3 a.m. in the morning, you wake up, it's like a spirit of fear wants to seize you. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. You wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and you can't sleep and you feel like fear is seizing your inside, like you think your heart is going to burst, pray in the Holy Ghost. My wife often says, you don't even get to the pillow before you're out. But a long, 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 long time ago, when I was just a teenager, when I began to understand some of this, I began a process I have followed to this day. The moment I close my eyes and prepare to rest, I start praying. And I keep praying until I go to sleep. And I do it all the time. I do it whether I'm taking a bit of a nap. I do it in the evening. If I wake up in the middle of the night, I pray. Seek the face of God, maybe not 100% of the time, but I do that. I've always felt like the enemy wants to encourage me to go back to sleep because he doesn't want me to pray anyway. Just put this guy back to sleep. Not that insomnia indicates the other. Don't take it that way. I'm simply saying, when it's just you and God, in your automobile, in your house, in the night, if you're sitting in a meeting and you already know everything that's going on in that meeting, and it's like, oh, Snoresville. Pray in the Holy Ghost. But just be careful. Years ago, when our daughter Jen was still in, I think, middle school, and the church that we were pastoring at that time had broke into an out-and-out revival, and there was a lot of manifestations that were happening in that move of God, and we were in a meeting. It was a middle school meeting where they were having band parents to come together, and they were going over forms, and they already had the forms in front of us. They were just reading the forms. I was like, I got the forms. I can read it, you know. And I thought, you know what, we already know why we're here, and I've got the papers in front of me. And I put my head back. I thought, you know what, I'm going to just start praying in the Spirit. And when I began to pray in the Spirit, I began to feel the Spirit of God settle down on me, and I began to feel myself. I thought, whoa, wait a minute, better dial it back here a minute, or they're going to feel that Jen's dad is kind of losing it here. I'm only saying to you, make the most of every opportunity. You don't have to be on your knees. I had to learn this the hard way. I'll never forget. I used to think in my middle school, early high school years, I used to think that the only way you could pray was to be at church. Nobody ever said that. Somehow I'd got that idea, and I'll never forget it. Somebody gave me, this was back in the days of 8-track tapes. Raise your hand if you remember 8-tracks. Every once in a while, Nancy will show me something on Facebook, and they have a picture and say, what is this? Jan, our daughter, what's this? I don't know. And it was the Charismatic Renewal broke out of Southern California and washed up the left coast. And we were a part of that. Hippies streamed into the county where I grew up. We had more hippies per capita in our county than anywhere except Southern California. And they all came up our way. And they were a strange bunch, those hippies. But one of the Southern California pastors had put together a teaching on prayer. And one of the hippies that had come out of Southern California that had an experience with God, we used to go to a Bible study in the basement of the Catholic Church, my grandfather and I. And my grandfather was balder than I am, was kind of crippled as a result of some events that had happened in his life. But we went to be with this hippie Bible study, and it was every Tuesday night, if I remember right. And I'm telling you, those hippies that had come to know Christ that gathered together in the basement of that Catholic church, and we went through on Tuesday nights to be a part of that prayer meeting, and those hippies were so free, and they had had such an experience with God. I mean, they would dance so much the water was sloshing the toilets in the bathroom. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, they were having a real experience going on in there, and we were there. And one of them gave to our family a tape on prayer, an 8-track. And on that tape, I'll never forget it, they talked about you don't have to be in a building called a church to pray. And that made such sense to me. I thought, I can pray anywhere. I can pray riding my bicycle back and forth to work. I can pray when I'm out on a golf course. My days off in high school, I played golf. And I'd get in my car and drive and play golf all day long. I never rented a cart. I walked. And between shots, I could pray. I learned that you can be wherever you are. And listen, this is all about building ourselves up so we can be strong. How many of us want to be strong? And how many of you want our church to be strong? How many of us want to make a difference where we live to be strong? How about in our families? How about where we work? How about in our communities? How about wherever we stop on the interstate? How about when we walk into the grocery store that people will suddenly realize something just walked in when they're in the back of the place? I pray to God with everything that is within me for a fresh outpouring of His Spirit on this Pentecost Sunday all over America. Would you stand? Heavenly Father, we praise You today. Heavenly Father, we thank You today. We thank You for the outpouring. We thank You for the Pentecostal blessing. We thank You for not only what You've done for us, but what You're doing. And hallelujah, what You are going to do. Even in this gathering today, before we depart, as a result of social distancing and the concerns connected with that, we may stand here distinct and removed, but that does not mean anything when it comes to the touch of Your Spirit upon our lives. I pray for each and every one of us for a fresh outpouring. Not just those who have experienced, but we who are experiencing. Not that I was filled, let us say present tense, I am filled. I pray for a fresh touch. I pray for a fresh anointing. I pray for a fresh fire. I pray for a fresh blessing. I pray for a fresh fullness. I pray for a fresh outpouring. I pray in the days to come we'll hear reports of men and women who have been out doing who knows what. And all of a sudden they will be arrested by the presence as they've been practicing their walk with You. Missionary Alliance Church, missionary congregations in northern Indiana, all of those churches were started as a result of people who had confrontations with God in the most unexpected of places, just going about their normal day-to-day stuff. But You'd done something for them. You showed up in their life. They had a God moment. Suddenly, it came. Father, we want to be strong. God, we want to build ourselves up. We want to make sure that the world doesn't take from us the most precious thing we have, our faith. They may take everything else from us, but they can't take what You've done in our heart. We want to be strong in our faith, strong in our walk, strong in our confession, strong in our commitments, strong in our prayer life, strong in the anointing, strong in the gifts, strong in the charismata, strong in the influence of You in our life that flows out of us unto those around us. As we give out, we give out, and we give out, and we give out. Fill us up. Fill us up. Fill us up. May we build ourselves up on the most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. I pray, Lord, for a fresh bathing of Your blessing. Wherever we go, wherever we live, whatever we do, may this anointing build us up. Now, everyone in the house, lift your hands. And I want you to pray right now the best way you know how. Pray, God, fill me anew. The Bible says, be being filled, continual present tense, an ongoing filling. An ongoing presence, an ongoing experience, not just once for all, a day-to-day ongoing thing. Pray right now in the best way you know. Father, fill me anew. Fill me afresh. Don't let me be satisfied with yesterday's manna or yesterday's blessing. I want to be full today. I want to be powerful today. I want to be anointed today. I want to be full of the Holy Ghost today. I want to take what I have and go out and share it with someone today. I don't want to try to live on yesterday's experience that is dissipating quickly from my life. I want You to come to me now. Hallelujah. Pray in the Spirit right now all over the house. If you've been infilled, I want you right now for these next few moments before we dismiss, I want you to pray in the Spirit. Come on, everybody in the house right now. I want you to pray in the Holy Ghost. I want you to pray in the Spirit. Don't pray in English. Pray in that other language. Pray it right now. Let God build you up and let an environment right now rise as the river is surging in our midst. Let God do something fresh in your life. Let God build you up in a fresh new way in your life. Not just satisfied, not just comfortable, not just kind of business as usual, not just going with the flow and being satisfied with where we have been. Oh, Holy Ghost of God, build us up. Build us up. Make us strong so we will not fall in the days that are ahead. And now unto him that's able to keep you from falling and present you before his glorious throne without spot. Unto him be glory, both now and forevermore. Somebody shout a great big amen. Hallelujah.